into fashion forward statement pieces for the entire family. That's right. Your lover, your children, your mother, your grandfather. Something for the entire family. You can experience the comfort of their signature polos, outerwear, and other accessories cleverly designed to keep you in the swing of everyday life. The spring line's been out for a while. Go check it. I still think that orange flower shirt is going to be perfect to wear for Nico and the boys in the fall. One's up. Acknowledge the Polynesian prince, the tribal chief of the Tennessee football program. Check them out today at inwardhalf.com. Inwardhalf.com, and look for them in your favorite pro shop. Sam, our boy Todd at Inward Half, he texted me yesterday and said he was pretty disgusted or embarrassed for us at your winning score in the Fan Run Open. Said that 9-under was pretty embarrassing. To which I said, 9-under sounds pretty good to me.
Did he know he was at a par 3 course?
Yeah. Yeah, he knows where we're at. He knows the course. I mean, he's a golf expert here. He's in the biz.
Sorry, Todd.
He said if he went out there, it's 12-under at least.
I'll say, Todd, come play with me next year at the Fan Run Open.
Well, he did. He said okay. He was going to play, and he said I was going to be on his team and that we'd win. He's like, you don't even have to hit any shots. He's like, he told me just to be there for the vibes and to –
Oh, you were saying you don't have to hit shots. Yeah, I thought he was telling that to me after my 6-under score.
No. He told me I ain't got to worry about hitting any shots. Just come out there for the vibes, take some pictures, hit some putts.
Yeah.
He said, and he's guaranteeing at least a 12-under.
Okay.
I said, well, it was raining a little bit in the first hour. I was trying to defend you boys.
I was a little pressed that I didn't win, I will say. I mean, I was really hoping for a win there, but at least it stayed in-house, I guess. But, yeah, I guess Todd's going to have me motivated for the rest of the year.
I think 9-under is a decent score, but 6-under is you guys should have done better.
We left a couple out on the table. I think we could have gotten to 8 easily.
You know who's got little known fact? John and I saw it firsthand, at least on the greens. The boss man looks like he's got a little game.
Yeah, actually, he was out there sinking some putts, and he's like, I'm actually really good at golf.
Let's go.
Yeah, he goes, as he said, felt like I was watching a episode of like the Ted Lasso episode when he was playing darts, you know, where he was dropping some putts, and he was like, a little thing you don't know about me is I'm okay at golf, you know, and putts are rolling in, and you know, long ones too. I mean,
I feel like I could see him having some good short game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a nicer comparison that you made there of Ted Lasso. Cause when I was watching, I was like, man, this is like in The Office when they wouldn't let Kevin play basketball. And then he's just there draining, you know, 18-foot jumpers afterwards after they, you know, they made Stanley play instead of him. And he's just in his suit jacket, just draining jumpers. That's how I felt Ryan, who no one asked him to be on the team. You know, I don't know if he would have been able to play since he was helping run the thing with me. And, you know, we were tag teaming it and making sure everybody was taken care of. But whoever would have asked him to be on the team would have had a really good golfer out there. At least they would have been making some putts. I will say that.
Houston's immediately coming to my defense here. He said, did he know that we started in a downpour?
Everyone started in a downpour, including the team that went 9-under. But also, also important to note, Houston, since you're listening, you were the only team with 5 golfers and a caddy.
So Marcus can't hit shots. I mean, let's not act like...
You told me he gave you advice on the club that worked.
I would almost argue that Marcus maybe put some mixed signals into my brain.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
You hear this, Marcus? So after you slept their bags around, carrying their bags and giving them advice and provided snacks.
Driving around in his own cart.
As you provided snacks and good vibes, Sam saying you actually hurt the team.
Man, the flag. He did a lot.
I'm not saying he hurt the team.
You kind of said he hurt the team.
I'm saying he might have put some mixed signals into my head.
Well, that means it hurt your game, which means that, you know, I think you went in there expecting to be the best player on the team. So, like, if the best player on the team isn't up to his A game, Sam, I don't know how you could say that that's not hurting the team.
Sure. I'll be better next year.
And also, Houston – look, I love Houston. Saying you started a downpour is a little hyperbolic. It was a slight drizzle.
It was a drizzle.
It was cold and drizzly. It was not a downpour. Let's Let's not Al Bundy this and act like you've scored four touchdowns in your high school state championship. It was a slight drizzle.
Definitely wasn't a downpour. It was more of like you're standing on the tee box, like, let's hope this doesn't stay up for the whole type of round type of thing.
I'm not saying it was great for vibes or morale. I'm not making that case because I was cold. Like, I was supposed to be taking some videos and doing some stuff, and I was like, you know what? My hands are too cold. I can't even get a text message off. I didn't even use my phone for 2 hours. I just kept my phone up because it was too cold to use. So I'm not acting like it was comfortable. So don't get me wrong. I'm just pushing back a little bit on a downpour. I was there. It was not a downpour.
You know, maybe it's the downpour when Houston could have been getting some good work in on the range. That's my spin zone.
I didn't show up till 8:15. At no point was it downpouring post 8:15. So, yeah, maybe if he was out there at 7:45 wanting to get some work in, maybe it was raining harder at that point. I don't know. But from 8:15 throughout the entirety of the day, it was not at no point downpouring.
Sam is that could be construed that you're saying Houston needed more time on the range. I mean, this is your story.
Wow, what a spin by Bob. He's trying to drive a wedge, pun intended, in between you two.
Trying to divide this team.
Yeah, Marcus, you pretty much, Sam's like, it's not my fault, man.
Well, we didn't have to do that for Marcus. Sam took the chance to do that himself. Sam took the blowtorch to Marcus all by himself.
I'm not dragging Houston through the mud at all. We wouldn't have gotten to 6-under without his putter, so I'm perfectly happy with
that. That's
him.
Good.
What the hell did you do then?
I was hitting the tee shots, man. I'm getting us to 15 or 20 feet to hit the putt.
Streets told me that two of Houston's birdies came off of Julia's tee shots. That's what I was told.
One of them did. I don't know. I don't remember every single birdie.
Or she said two of his big putts. Maybe one was a safe par. I don't know, but
he did have one to save par. Yeah, I think
your listener player was good too, right?
Yeah, David was a beast.
Yeah,
David was a beast. Me and him were taking care of the tee shots.
So you guys are doing the tee shots, and Houston's doing the putting. It seems like you guys should have had better than 6-under. Again, not to put down you, Houston, or David. I'm just trying to do the math here. Math ain't mathin'. Somebody didn't pull their weight. Maybe the tee shots weren't as good as you are claiming. Maybe you're getting by off just the first shot of the day. Because that's all I've heard you talk about is your first shot of the day being 5 feet away.
I had a couple good ones.
Okay, I mean, I'm not a golfer, so I mean, I don't really have a leg to stand on. I mean, my team, I've been told we would have got 12 under, so I mean, like, my team would have been champions. I was too busy to do other things.
Can't win them all.
Or one, apparently.
I hit our group text up after it, though. I said I'm going to be motivated for the next 364.
He's not backing down. He said it was a downpour when we put those signs out. I was waterlogged, and we got zero range time. So
correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm not a warm-up guy, so I'm not going to act like I wanted to be at the range at like 7:30 in the pouring rain hitting shots.
First of all, I was out there at the same exact time putting the signs down. We literally pulled off at the same time. Second of all, I'm 95% sure. I can't say with certainty, but 95% sure I saw someone in the cart with Houston, which means he should have been just driving around.
Having someone put them out
like I did. Now, maybe he got out and was tag-teaming, which seems dumb because it's harder to put it in park versus just let somebody get out and do it. So, like, maybe Houston wasn't doing it the most efficient way. But, again, I'm 95% sure someone was in the golf cart with him, which means that he should not have been, quote-unquote, waterlogged. I wasn't waterlogged. Hell, I came out of the day with a damn sunburn on the top of my head. It couldn't have been too rainy out there. You know, some people just like making excuses, though, I guess. So, you know,
I'm not trying to make excuses.
I was more so talking about Houston at this point. It's crazy how we could be in the same place and have completely different takeaways from what happened. This is how arguments happen. This is the political landscape just in a nutshell right here.
That one little storm cell was just right over the 10th tee, not the first tee.
You know,
you must have had that wrong.
You know, maybe. Maybe.
Wow.
6-under, you know, I was expecting better, to be honest, but
I kind of was too. I felt like we could have gotten to 7 or 8.
Now, I will say, since we're on the topic, you mentioned Marcus bringing the team down. We talked about Julia hitting a couple good tee shots, Houston seeking some putts, you hitting some tee shots, David hitting some tee shots. Did Tucker just bring absolutely nothing to the table?
No, I mean, I thought Tucker did a good job.
Doing what?
He just hit, like, I thought Tucker would hit some solid tee shots, but it just wasn't, like, our closest one of the day. So if we had one on the green that was like 15 feet, like I think Tucker had a couple where he was like 25 or 30 feet away, but it's just like we weren't taking his shot.
Did he make any putts?
No putts for Tucker.
So Tucker did nothing for the team.
Tucker and I were having a great time in the car together.
So Tucker was there for vibes.
Yeah. We got to have a vibes guy on
the
team.
Sure.
We have totally dismantled this golf team.
We're picking apart the fan run team over here.
Well, you know, I didn't want to bring it up, but like, yeah, you were calling yourselves the fan run team. I'm a part of fan run radio. I'm a part of fan run sports. So like, you guys kind of let me down when I see that we lost. Because, like, Tim's not trash-talking me. He's mostly focused on trash-talking Jake. But Jake's team cleared y'all by 2 strokes.
Well, allegedly.
Allegedly, sure. But allegedly. The final scorecard says Jake's team cleared Team Fan Run by 2 strokes. So, like...
We'll make it clear. Aaron Medley cleared Team Fan Run by 2 strokes. Jake probably did nothing.
I saw Jake hit a couple nice tee shots. You know, and I got to be honest, Jake was dealing with some... Not everyone, pretty much no one defends Jake around here, but I'll defend Jake. He was dealing with some tough circumstances. You want to talk about a downpour and Houston's excuses. As to my knowledge, only one player had the bear horn out. Every time I saw him trying to hit a tee shot, Bear would hit his air horn and mess him up and, you know, just argue with him and try to troll him. So, like, Jake was having to deal with some tougher situations than most of the golfers out there, I would say.
We got air horned once.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Bear just has no respect for the game.
Yeah, Bear's just dragging the game of golf through
the
mud.
It was like your worst scene in Caddyshack going on with Bear. He was just, flipping carts, blowing air horns.
Yeah, I was going to say, not just the game of golf. He was disrespecting the entire course with the way he was driving his golf cart around. Like, it wasn't very becoming.
Rocking, you could hear his cart, like, from 2 holes over.
Yeah. You know,
music cranked up and... I mean, it was like Rodney Dangerfield was back to life, man.
Now, could you hear me talking in the cart a couple times? Because I got a couple of looks from you guys whenever I would be there watching, and I had the liquor rep, the beer rep there, and she'd be asking questions, and we'd be like kind of talking.
I didn't.
Okay, because it was you in particular. I saw you shot me a dirty look at one point.
Oh, really?
Or a look. In my mind, it might have been dirty.
I was probably just observing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I was like, oh,
no, I don't really care.
Am I being too loud?
Yeah. I don't really care if someone's, like, talking with me. I enjoy kind of holding a conversation almost when I'm playing. I don't really – I think when people are, like, talking to you on the tee box and then stop right before you shoot, that's almost more awkward for me.
Gets in your head worse.
Yeah.
If I may, the one thing I will say, and again, it's easy for John and I to pot shot because we didn't play, but you guys missed a lot of putts. You really did. I mean, Houston was solid. Short game looked good there, but I saw a lot of putts that were like, come on, man.
I'm Bobby too with a come on, man. Like, how are you missing that one? Like, come on.
I think we did burn like 3 edges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to focus on the inward half.
Mm-hmm.
That's the brand name, inward half. You aim for the inner half.
I got to get better on the putting greens.
Houston has said that he did have someone in this cart, but it was his wife, so... He said he couldn't let her get out and get wet. So,
respectable man.
Yeah. So I was 95% right that someone was in there, but I acknowledge that he had to get out of the cart. I did not get out of the cart. So he's being a husband there. So that's fine. Bad decision to take her with you in the cart, which, again, shout out to Jake. I didn't ask Jake. Jake took it upon himself. He volunteered to hop in and get the job done, which, by the way, Jake was waterlogged. He shot 8 under. I'm just saying, he was out doing all the signs and stuff, too.
Once again, Jake didn't shoot 8 under. Aaron Medley shot 8 under, and Jake shot 6 under. We tied.
You're just taking 2 strokes away from him?
Yeah. I know he cheated because Marcus was talking to him on the 9th hole. He goes, did you take any mulligans, Jake? And he just gave, like, a little shrug. He was talking, he was yapping for 5 minutes before that, and then Marcus goes, did you take any mulligans? And he shut right up.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He gave a little shrug.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We could do a fan run 30 for 30.
I mean, I thought we could play an honorable tournament, you know? Sue me.
Yeah. Wow. It's all coming out now.
It would be more embarrassing for, you know, I've given Jake, I've thrown him a couple bones. It would be pretty embarrassing if they were cheating and they didn't cheat low enough. Like, if they threw away their morals and their ethics and their pride and they cheated and they still lost.
Go kill the competition if you're going to cheat, yeah.
Yeah, I have more respect when I see the people on social media that like lie and say they saw like a 54.
Exactly, yeah.
And everyone's like, really? And it's like, yeah, it's whatever card. And, you know, to win the prize, I have more respect for those people that just straight up lie and like do some big lie. And we birdied every hole.
So while Brett's team was getting investigated for cheating, and it turns out it doesn't look like they were, there was
slid right under.
There was other activity going on. It's like that smash and grab stuff that happens. Yeah,
he created a diversion. He got everyone looking at Brett's team, and then all of a sudden he's hitting three tee shots.
Smart.
Wow, this is fascinating. This could be like a whole like investigative edition of the morning show. One time we just question everybody that played on the Fan Run Open.
Well, that's part of the reason I didn't want a prize to go to first place, because I didn't trust other people not to cheat. But I forgot about that damn trophy and the bragging rights inside the office, which I like Tim a lot. I respect Tim. I think of him as an honorable man, but you know, no one's even looking into the team winner or the guy who took the trophy down at 9 under. Maybe something fishy was going on there too. I don't know. It's really a testimony and a credit to his standing that they shot 9 under. No one's even raised any red flags.
Yeah, it's just like, hey,
that's Tim. He's not gonna cheat. That's a good old boy.
He's snickering right now, listening.
Yeah,
like those fools.
He's like, oh man, I shot 3 under. These idiots. Yeah.
I think they just have better vibes. You know,
I think they did too. They seemed like they're having a great time.
I would ride around. And I was just checking in on people. I'd ask them, hey, you need a drink? Hey, you need a koozie? Hey, what's your score? How's it going? And like everybody be listening to, you know, certain types of music. You had Bear blasting out some rocks. People,
we didn't have music.
Rap.
I think that's a big key for next year.
You did or didn't?
Didn't.
You didn't sync up the cart? The cart was a Bluetooth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Marcus offered up some music. I heard him offer it up. Maybe not to you.
You mean to tell me you kids rode around in that damn golf cart and never looked up and said, huh, maybe this cart with like the great technology and GPS had Bluetooth that I could connect my phone?
Normally those speakers are trash. I just never
did. No, it was great.
Okay.
I will say Williams Creek, they were great hosts. They had great products. And
yeah, good for
you. I had a speaker I meant to bring, but I didn't need it because, yeah, they had Bluetooth. And plus, I forgot the speaker at home, so I was kind of mad, but then I hooked up. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I know.
I think Bear brought an additional speaker, though, because...
Oh, he did, 100%.
His sounded like, you know, like he was using a big subwoofer or something. It was super loud.
I got to say, for Vibes Guy Tucker, that's kind of his role, to check to see if there's music. Like, if he's going to be the Vibes Guy, he's got to make sure the vibes are good. So, yeah, okay, you're 6 under with no music, maybe a little bit more impressive. But I was going to say, people are listening to some rap, some rock, and I pull up next to Tim and I hear, you say it best when you say nothing at all. Just listening to some 90s country ballads, I guess, to keep him even keeled and help him on the green. I don't know.
I love that.
Just a couple of fellas riding around listening to some love songs.
That legitimizes his 9 under to me, if he's just listening to old country love songs.
And I will say, again, you know, since we're picking this apart, I was listening at one point, and Marcus offered some music, and maybe it was Tucker who said, no, we're good.
So, I would have taken some music from Marcus. You know,
the Alison Krauss version, too, the woman singing. Yeah, he was listening to the woman version of it. So vibes were there. They were chill. So, I mean, I think that helps on the green, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not disputing Tim's score at all. We had one where we were backed up to them, like we were, you know, back and back, I guess, on a different hole, and I asked him what he was, and it made sense from what he was at. He was at like 5 under through 8 holes or something like that. I'm not questioning Tim at all. We just need music, I think. That's my takeaway from this. I need some dad yacht rock to go with my 6 under.
Sam will have nobody from his team talking to him now after this segment.
He's taking a blowtorch to everybody. It's everyone's fault except his.
Y'all did kind of come at me at the start of it. I got to defend my team, and then it's turned into me just destroying my team in the process of it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we could have used some music. That would have been good.
Let's go to break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. The next Golf Open, you'll want to be there. It was a fun time. It's a fun time. We got the Smokies Night coming up May 30th. There will be no competitions there, I guess, but I'm sure there'll be some chicanery and shenanigans. Stick with us.
Come with me. My friends all fall so easily.
All All right, let's talk some college basketball. You got some updates for me across the country, Bob, and including here in Knoxville?
Well, I do. Yeah, there's this transfer portal thing. Obviously, it's been a saga for a couple of weeks, and it keeps going on. And obviously, we've been talking a lot about our guys, the Tennessee Vols, but nationally, we haven't even really talked about what in the world is going on at Duke at this point. I mean, they've turned almost their entire roster over. I know they've got a huge freshman class coming in. I think six high-ranking freshmen, far and away the best freshman class incoming in the country. They better be good. They have, I think, two remaining players from last year's team, Tyrese Proctor and Caleb Foster. Two transfers coming in, Malik Brown from Syracuse, Mason Gillis from Purdue, who's kind of like a Josiah Jordan James light type player. Our guess is maybe they're just looking for some leadership and glue, basically. But, man, that team, they started when the tournament ended as kind of the odds-on preseason number one, and they're not there anymore. I mean, they still could be pretty good, but there's just a lot of unknowns there.
Yeah, I'm not as much interested in Duke and what's going on with their roster as much as I am with maybe thinking about their approach. Like, are they doing the old Coach Cal thing where they're just maybe their NIL collective and their roster building, they haven't caught up to the rest of the country and realizing, like, hey, maybe these McDonald's All-Americans ain't it? Because you tell me they're bringing in a bunch of freshmen. And it almost seems like if I'm just thinking about why all these veterans are leaving, like, yeah, Filipowski's going to the NBA. Okay, that makes sense. But, like, when you're looking at Jeremy Roach and a couple of the other guys, are they just getting, like, pushed to the side a little bit because they want these freshmen instead? And, like, the minutes, but maybe even more importantly to them, the money is going to the incoming freshmen versus the proven veterans?
I think it's a fair question. And because otherwise, I mean, they still had a lot of talent. Even if Filipowski decided to go pro, because he almost did that last season. But yeah, that's the part we don't know these days. I mean, that was one of the big criticisms with Cal. You know, this past season, you think of Rob Dillingham, who was arguably one of their two best players, at a minimum, their three best players. But he sometimes, you know, and he'd be lighting it up and he'd sit the bench for the better part of the second half. And the question always became from Kentucky fans, is that because Cal had made promises to other freshmen that you're going to get X amount of minutes, all those other things? That's the part of the load balance that's tough to understand these days, you know. And maybe some of those guys that are leaving Duke, Roach, Mitchell, McCain. Well, McCain's going pro, I think. But for sure it's money, but it also makes you wonder if some of these freshmen that are coming in, is it money and minutes that are getting committed to make sure they come? That's the real conundrum these days. It's getting harder and harder, and we talked about it in earlier segments in this show. It's, you know, it's kind of like you're rebuilding almost every year now. A lot of stuff happening in the SEC too. We've talked about, you know, Kentucky. They're trying to start to put pieces together. They still have a long way to go. They did get a targeted big in Amari Williams from Drexel. They're looking at some other players, obviously. But as a matter of fact, I think Jaden Quaintance, who was a freshman commit for Cal to Kentucky and then decommitted, is now agreed to have a meeting with Mark Pope about the prospect maybe of coming back here and what Kentucky could offer.
The water carrying by the KSR guys have been funny to see. Like Matt Jones, like, oh, my God, I've never seen this before. A head coach is picking up a prospect and taking him to the airport. Oh, my God, Mark Pope is different. He's really recruiting out here, connecting with players. To which, like, he was just met by every picture and every comment of people pointing out their coach did it, including Matt Jones pointing out Coach Cal did it in 2014 himself.
Different.
It's like they've gone full into the spin zone so much that they are trying to praise even the smallest things. Oh, my God, he's wearing the school colors. whenever he's not actually coaching basketball. He just loves Big Blue Nation. He hasn't taken off a Kentucky pullover ever since he got here. Wow, he is talking about how good Devin Booker is. Oh, my God, he appreciates our tradition.
Yeah, I again, they have a long, long way to go. The fans seem to be embracing it. You know, I just hope they're patient because.
I hope they're not patient.
Well,
I hope they're not. I hope they realize in year one that, hey, this ain't it, and let's start getting a little toxic. But, like, you know, I do, I guess, I don't want to say give them credit because I think every fan base does it. We've done it here in Knoxville plenty of times, but they've maybe done it with more breakneck speed of how quickly they've tried to rally behind a guy and convince themselves that it's a good hire. And who knows, maybe Mark Pope will win some games there. Maybe he'll win some tournament games. Maybe he'll go to the Elite Eight, a Final Four, win a championship. I don't know. I'm betting against it. But, you know, they're definitely trying to will it into existence.
Yep, I agree. You know, the team in the SEC, so we focus a lot of conversation on Kentucky and, of course, Arkansas with Calipari, who also got a commit yesterday from a former Kentucky commit who decommitted. Carter Knox is coming over. That's Kevin Knox's little brother. I didn't even realize that.
Hopefully he's better than Kevin.
Yeah.
For Cal's sake.
So he's coming to Arkansas, but Missouri has been very active. We know Mark Mitchell has been the most recent transfer portal commit from Duke. They also got Tony Perkins, who was starting point guard at Iowa, and then a mid-major kid, Jacob Cruz, from I believe it's UT Martin. So you can kind of feel Dennis Gates needs to have a get-right season. He had a great first season, or just an absolute disaster last season. Probably some pressure on Missouri and Dennis Gates to get it going.
I got to be honest, Bob. I don't care about Missouri basketball right now. You told me you had some local news, too. Give me what I want. Give me my Summit Blue update.
Well, I'm going to give you two more things before we get to that because it's SEC-centric. Elijah Martin, who played for that FAU team that went to the Final Four, played last year, going to Florida. And then Aiden Holloway, Auburn transfer, going to Alabama, which kind of underscores this day and age what's going on in terms of I would have never imagined an Auburn kid transferring to Alabama and vice versa. And in the Big Ten, Roddy Day, who was a momentary person of interest for Tennessee, is going to Michigan. Ohio State going to Michigan. So,
just getting you ready for Jonas Adu to Kentucky or Alabama.
Could be. Lady Vols. Yeah, we haven't talked about this, but
come on, tell me about my girl. What's my girl Kim doing?
Kim's working. They've got a 6'2 freshman, rising sophomore from Syracuse, who was an all-conference freshman player. She has committed to transfer over to UT. 6'2, averages about, I think, 8 boards a game. The through line here is size. The other person who just visited over the weekend, coming from another ACC school from Miami, Lazaria Spearman, 6'4". She's the Hurricanes' top rebounder. She has not committed, but all indicators are that they think Tennessee is going to get her. The one that's really intriguing, but I don't think has committed at this point, but she has entered the transfer portal and has been in discussion with Tennessee, is a young lady by the name of Aaliyah Nile, who is a shooter, which is something they would desperately need. The common link here is she was a recruit from Roman Tubner, who's one of the new assistants to Kim Caldwell. He's the one that got her to Alabama. Good scorer, and you know, it's that's one that it sounds like out of the three that we've just discussed, Latham, Spearman, and Nile would be the one they would want to target the most, but again, no commitment yet.
Nye, I believe,
or Nye, name.
Yeah,
okay,
I think it's Nye, but yeah, 41% from three. So, I mean, like at Alabama last year would be a fifth year player. Would add some shooting. The size thing's kind of interesting, I guess, because when I just saw Kim's style of play, I'm picturing just a bunch of undersized, scrappy players pressing and running and shooting. But if you can do that with size, then yeah, you could have something special.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not really seen much about Lazaria Spearman at 6'4", obviously a big for the women's game. Maybe that's just your, you know, that's your last stand when they're setting up the press. But, yeah, so anybody who has concerns about the new coaching regime, you can't say that they're not out there working it. They absolutely are. So hopefully there'll be more to come on that front.
Does that get that Summit blue pumping through your veins, Sam?
Yeah.
Does it get you fired up?
I'm excited to see where the, you know, where they kind of go in terms of recruiting. Because, yeah, I mean, I do think it's – we talked about it a little bit, but I do think, you know, with this whole new philosophy coming in, I mean, I'm excited to see Lady Vols basketball. It feels a little Josh Heupel-ish how you've got, you know, a high-powered offense coming in and something exciting to – you know, to see on the court play out. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what kind of pieces she's looking to add.
A return to prominence. At this point, I think I'm more excited for Lady Vols basketball than Rick Barnes and his roster.
I don't think that's crazy.
No, I think it is crazy, Sam.
I was going to say, seriously, say what?
But I am probably more intrigued by it because I think I know what Rick Barnes is going to give us. I don't think there's a lot of uncertainty there.
You know
there,
what you're looking for.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's a lot of uncertainty, and that's a good thing. I don't mean that as an insult to Barnes. Like, they're going to play good defense. I do think this upcoming year was going to maybe focus a little bit more on offense, so maybe it's going to be more of like, hey, instead of a top three defense and a top 30 offense, maybe we'll have like a top 15 offense, top 15 defense. We'll try to do it a little bit more balanced. And because it does seem like, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, nobody in the transfer portal that Tennessee's been really linked to has been described as like a stopper. Except maybe the big from Ohio State. But before then, like, all the guys on the wing, it's like, hey, shooter, score.
D-Stone's not a bad defender.
No, yeah, I'm not saying they're bad defenders, but it's like no one's getting praise for their defense. I haven't heard anybody talk about D-Stone's defense.
No, I think that that had been in some preliminary discussions about Igor, that the defense might be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like they're willing to accept that these days.
I think if you're Rick Barnes, and I do think if you're building a basketball team, like if you have two good point of attack defenders and a good big man, like the other two positions don't have to be great, especially in college basketball where guys are ISOing you and able to get you just in one-on-one matchups nonstop. Like if you could play just average team defense if you're those other two guys and focus on getting buckets and let Zakai and Meshack, you know, dominate right there on ball and let, you know, if you can find a big man to protect the rim, like that's kind of all you need.
I mean, I think we saw a version of that this past season because, again, it was well chronicled that Dalton was good enough on defense, but he wasn't a stopper. But it didn't seem to hurt our defensive effort overall. We were still – God, we choked a lot of teams out defensively.
Well, yeah, but I think if you remove – Josiah off that team, it goes differently. Like,
yeah, that's true.
On this one, I think Tennessee is going to say maybe we need two. We'll try to get by with two average defenders because last year, you know, you had
four of those guys.
Yeah, like even Vescovy was a really good defender. Like the only guy on your team that couldn't really defend or wasn't a big plus defender was Connect. And I thought his defense was perfectly fine. I don't think he was a bad defender. His size alone kind of, you know, helps you on the defensive glass and helps you, with, you know, around the rim with some length. But, like, yeah, this year I think, you know, losing Josiah is going to be a huge deal for the defense.
Yeah.
So maybe Barnes knows, like, hey, there's nobody in the portal we can get that can match that. So let's just try to score some points here. What's the big guy's name from Ohio State? Felix?
Felix.
Akpara. Uh-huh. Okay. So, yeah, if he could come in and be our rim protector, then, like, yeah, maybe you just have two Bulldogs on the perimeter and funnel them into him, and hopefully he can, you know, protect the rim.
We are going to definitely have a potentially all-names starting five. Think about that. Zakai, Darlinstone, Felix, Igor if he comes.
Jemai.
There's no Chaz. I mean, there's no
– At this point, Chaz better not be a starter.
It's a national championship level name team.
Chaz brings it down a little bit.
You think?
Chaz doesn't help the coolness of our team. No disrespect if you're a Chaz and you're listening, but like Chaz does not get credit for being a cool name.
I don't know, man.
You think Chaz is a cool name?
I like the Z's in there.
The Z's a nice touch.
It's a weird letter. I like having multiple Z's on our team.
It's I'm telling you, that what a bunch of names. That alone should give us some swag.
JP Estrella.
Yeah. Cam.
We got guys. We got guys.
Cam, there's not a John or Jack or Sam. There's
Jordan Ganey is maybe our most normal name out there.
That's true. Cade. Think about that.
Could have double Cade.
That's right. Sam, you're right. You're right.
Be careful on the names thing. We got a Chaz Lanier. Do we think he would come off the bench if he came here at this point?
It's an interesting question, because the more I've been thinking about it, if you piece that together, like what's a starting five look like if we got, again, most of those guys we're going out for. And it's really easy to rush to the, you know, a starting five that doesn't have Jemai in it. And I'm like, I think that's a mistake if that happens. I really think you, just from the glue perspective and the fact that, say what you want, who knows if he ever really contemplated jumping, but he showed some serious, he was the loyalty brand for this team in the last week or two.
Well, I also think if you take him off the court as a starter, then you're going to really run into some defensive problems.
Yeah.
I do think the way we're trying to construct the roster, it does feel like you need him and Zakai out there.
I agree.
If you get Lanier, to me it feels like if he's gone this long without entering the portal, he seems like a guy who maybe is willing to kind of take on more of like a role player, six man type deal at like a bigger name program.
It's just like, hey, I want my grad degree from Tennessee and to come home or whatever. I don't know if he's going to have been graduate or whatever. They call him a grad transfer,
yeah,
right?
He's like a grad transfer.
It says he's only a junior on his page, but
really?
Maybe. Yeah, but
redshirt, maybe.
I've heard everyone call him. He's a grad transfer, so like, you know, maybe he's early. I don't know. Got a lot of names associated with the team.
That's a lot.
And I don't mean like the names in terms of like what we were doing, you know, with them all being unique, but I mean, there's like 11 guys, 12 guys that probably are going to want to play.
Yeah, it all stacks up pretty quick if we get some of these guys.
You're not going to get everybody, you know, obviously, but you bring in a couple more names and you start looking at what you have left, that's a lot of mouths to feed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Rick Barnes is trying to load up one more year and just says, hey, this is my last shot. If I win it, I could go out. If not, I'm going out guns blazing. Going to make one last big run at it. Load it up. Give me all the scoring I can handle. All right. Well, there's your Tennessee basketball update. Shout out to Kim and the Lady Vol staff for out there working.
She is definitely helping sell the Summit Blue concept, right? I mean, I don't remember seeing much of it recently, and now we're all about it.
Seems like that's all she wants to wear, which is fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's unique to them.
Yeah.
I think it looks good.
All right. We got more apparel.
Last call on the other side.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just...
My girl Kim loves her Summit Blue, man. She makes it look good. She makes it look good. Am I allowed to rock the Summit Blue? Am I allowed to wear it?
Hell yeah.
Because I've looked at a couple things, and like I haven't pulled the trigger on it because I don't know if I'm allowed to. I don't know if I'd feel weird wearing it. I think it's at this time that, like, I kind of, you know, like, I understand what Dave Hart was going for. Maybe that was his dilemma. It's like, hey, I like wearing the Summit Blue, and I wouldn't mind having some Summit Blue on my Tennessee gear, but I don't know if I want to wear something that says Lady Vols, because I'm not a lady. I'm a man. Maybe that's part of why Dave Hart wanted to get rid of the name. Maybe he felt excluded. Bob, do you rock any Summit Blue?
I rock that color, but I don't have any Lady Vols apparel, and that might just be closed-mindedness on my part. I don't know, but as of now, I don't have any.
I really liked that bomber jacket that she had on a couple weeks ago.
That's what I'm saying. It's got me thinking. I will say that. I'll wear the orange. Sometimes I think it's the orange that, you know, big guy. Sometimes the orange is a little, I'm always of the mind, you know, don't need to draw any more attention to me being a big guy by wearing orange. The light blue is a little softer, you know.
Do you consider yourself a big guy, Bob?
I think so.
When you say big, what do you mean? Like chunky? You think you're a chunky guy, or you just mean like broad, or what?
No, I'm broad. And I could always be a little less. We're all a little chunky from time to time, unless we're conditioned athletes. But I consider myself a big guy.
Okay, because I don't think broad doesn't have a negative connotation. But when you say I'm a big guy, that to me could have a negative connotation. Now, I mean, if you're down in the post, you know, working on some moves and hitting some left-handed layups and stuff, saying you're a big guy, that's a compliment. But just in general, that's a big old boy. Now, if you say big old boy, that's a compliment. Big old boy is positive connotation. That's a big guy. It's kind of ambiguous. It's kind of could be either, I guess.
It depends. Like when we were talking about Marcus Phillips yesterday, where I think I said, I was like, yeah, man, Marcus is a big boy. But I meant that like good. He's a load, man, up there throwing. I just think it depends. But yeah, back to your point, I sometimes think a little variation on the orange is not bad. I know Barnes gets a lot of heat for not wearing much orange. He wears more black and gray. And
I've never thought about that actually at all. He loves those black pullovers.
Yeah. I don't think he's doing it because he thinks he's a big guy. I just think he probably has a proclivity to not wear as much orange.
I got to be honest, it's hard to look good in orange.
Yeah.
It's something I've struggled with for all my life, you know, because I am a big guy, and I was a big old boy too, but in a bad way. I was very husky growing up, so like a husky kid, let's just call it what it is, a fat kid with red cheeks from my rosacea, the orange did not sit well with me. The orange, you know, then you saw Fulmer on the sidelines, and the people called him a pumpkin. So I'm growing up here, and people call him a pumpkin, and I'm worried about me. Like, am I going to look like a pumpkin if I'm wearing orange? It just never looks good on me. So I always try to gravitate towards the white shirts if I can, or the navy. You know, there's some navy gear.
Yeah, I like that.
The straight orange, it's not for me. The gray, the black, I kind of feel Barnes on that. Now, Barnes, of course, isn't a big old boy. He's not husky. He's not thick. I think his orange would be fine, and he wouldn't look like a pumpkin. But it's something I have to think about every time I put on some clothes.
So there you go. That's kind of what I'm getting at. And I appreciate what you're kind of saying to me. Do I question being a big guy? I do think so, but I don't know. I'm okay with Kim coming back around to introducing more of the Summit Blue. I ever since she was in that bomber jacket, I was like, man, that's a cool jacket, I gotta say. Now, I don't think I'd go buy one, but I thought it was pretty badass. Sam's telling us he's got a few.
Yeah, I got no shame in the Summit Blue. I wore my Lady Vols basketball jersey to the Bama game.
A basketball jersey?
Uh-huh. I love it.
Is it blue, or is it just a Lady Vol?
It's orange, but it's got like the blue trim kind of on like the sleeves and the collar. I'll try and get a picture of it here.
You're in college, so it's a little different. Like,
it's got the old Lady Vols logo like down the side too.
Oh, wow.
I think it's a sharp looking jersey.
You know, it's different. I know jerseys are big with the college kids, or at least they were, you know, 6-7 years ago. I don't know if our kids still wearing jerseys all the time and fraternities and sorority stuff. I haven't seen it as much, but of course, I'm too old now to really pay
attention. This was the first jersey I had bought in a while, honestly. I don't even buy jerseys
now,
myself.
Wearing a Lady Vols jersey in college maybe would help you with the women. It shows you're an ally, and maybe you find some girls like, oh, I like your jersey. Thanks for supporting the women.
The day of that Alabama game, I probably got 100 compliments on my jersey, and it wasn't from
that's
just
cool.
Women either. It was like dudes that were like, dude, that's a sick jersey.
That's cool.
Okay.
I got tapped on the shoulder probably like 10 times, like walking to my seat, going to get a drink or something like that. And they're like, hey, man, I like the jersey. I was like, thanks.
What do I have on the back?
Did I
don't have anybody's name
no,
or anything?
No. It's just a regular one. Bad radio, but I'll show you guys off the air, I guess. It's a sharp-looking jersey.
That's awesome.
And then I have just like a regular workout shirt because my brother's old roommate used to be a practice player for the Lady Vols. So I got one of those.
So you and Houston had that in common. You both, you're bonded by the Lady Vol practice. Well, right, but the connection.
Sure.
The connection. Mm-hmm. You would think with all that teamwork and camaraderie, you guys would have shot better than 600.
I knew that was coming. Houston texted me, too, after that. He was like, I want redemption bad now. And I was like, I do, too.
Well, guys are okay. So maybe it bonded you a little bit.
Yeah,
that's all right.
On the way out, you said you got some media news for us, Bob.
Yeah, just a couple of things. First off, we've been talking about NBA today, and it's, you know, it's high season for NBA right now with the playoffs. They're already talking about media rights because that deal expires at the end of 2025, and that is going to be a big money deal. And they just closed the exclusive negotiating window yesterday, which what that means is the current rights holders, right? Disney, so ESPN, ABC, Warner Brothers Discovery, which is TNT, and I guess True TV has been running alternate broadcasts of their games. They had a window where they could negotiate, and no one else could, to re-up their deal. And I think because of the price tag, neither of those parties came forward with a big offer. I think there's an accepted understanding. Now that window is closed, so now it'll be open to all bidders going into next year. And the NBA has an expectation of we're going to have another party. We'd love to have – we're happy with what we're seeing from Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery, and we'd love for them to be a part of our deal, but we're going to be looking at other suitors. There's talk of NBC getting back into the game. It's been a very long time since they were in there, but I always think of that theme music from them when NBC had the rights, so it'd be kind of cool to see them back in. And the NBA's forward thinking. They're like, we want to have a huge streaming deal long term. And who will that be with? We don't know. Will it be Amazon, you know, Apple TV? Who knows? So that will be big money, just crazy money. And they're also folding in the WNBA into that at this point, as they should, because the WNBA will be up for renewal in about a year as well. And the value of that league and the media rights seem to be skyrocketing. A great segue to the fact that the Caitlin Clark effect continues. Just yesterday, a new local deal signed with the NBC affiliate in Indianapolis, which is where I got my start in the broadcast business, WTHR. They're going to carry 17 Indiana Fever games over the air, which means on local broadcast, and they're part of the Tegna Group, which owns WBIR here. They're a huge national footprint broadcasting company, and they're going to look to flex those Fever games across the country. So what happens after all of this, I think we mentioned last week that at the moment, 35 or 36 of the 40 Indiana Fever games were going to be on national TV in the regular season. Now they'll all be on some form of national TV, all 40 games. And there's, you're hearing the stories all around, too, of other NBA franchises have sold out their season tickets. I think the Dallas team, and I forget the other one. There's two teams that just announced that. It's definitely high tide for WNBA and women's basketball right now, and Caitlin Clark is a huge contributor to that. She's the catalyst, I would say.
I wonder at what point everyone turns on her.
They're already taking odds on her being MVP in her first year, which is probably not a – well, it depends on what the odds are, but it's not a terrible bet.
That's another thing, you know, when we talk about being interested, I want to see how it goes.
Yeah.
I will be watching and paying attention. Storylines, that's what we got. The G.I. Jake Show coming up next. Good show by you boys today.
Same to you.
We'll do it again tomorrow. Hopefully I can get these allergies under control. They're just killing me. The sinuses over the last 15 minutes. I'm so excited the show's over. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.